dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Dude, that was sickening. We were texting a lot throughout the course of the good parts of the game. I cannot believe what happened. I cannot believe that
they definitely lose? Because I'm with you. Did they really lose?
How disgusting. Hard to even come on and rip them apart, and today's going to be therapy for both of us, for all the listeners and the callers. I mean, this is what talk radio is for. I'd be calling in the station today to vent. I cannot. It was a near-perfect game. That was the way. I was texting you, I love this matchup. Mm-hmm. The offense is moving, cutting to the rim, kicking out for the open three, attacking, getting them to the free throw line. And then it all fell apart, and there are many reasons why, but I cannot believe that we are here talking about the Knicks with an all-time collapse.
If we wanted to, Sal, we could start the show, we could do an hour on the refs. We could do an hour on Tom Thibodeau and what happened in those last, you know, 6, 7, 8 minutes. We could do an hour on Brunson.
Yep.
We're tripping all over himself late. We could do an hour or so on the inability for the Knicks to seemingly have a clean inbounds play, which does go to coaching. We're not going to do that. Listen, what we should know by now is that these crazy fourth quarter comebacks in the NBA are more and more common, and you got to be ready for them. So, you know, the post-game reaction, I know that Josh Hart said this. We've heard this in previous games as well. The Celtics said this when the Knicks did this to the Celtics. We got to finish. We got to play more aggressively. Yes, you do. Now, I still feel good about this. I do. I think the Knicks are the better team. But the one thing that I texted back to you, and they were still in a really good place at this point, I didn't think it would come back to bite him. I said, yeah, you know, as we were going, Cat and offense vibing, Knicks look good, blah, blah, blah. I said, no doubt, I'm happy, whatever, as I paraphrase. I'm not going to look at my phone to actually read the tweet word for the text word for, but I did say, bigger picture, this is how they want to play. Like, this is the Knicks have been able to walk on a basketball court this entire postseason and outlast people, all right, and be fresh and be strong in the final 5 or 6 minutes of a game. And the Pacers might be the only team that could stand up to that, whether it's being in great shape or having enough guys to keep their guys fresh to do damage at the end of the game.
But I don't
inexplicably
think
bad loss, but I still feel okay.
Fair enough. I don't think that's why they lost, though. I don't think they lost because of the Pacers' pace. The Knicks choked the game away. Josh Hart said they were playing not to lose. That's the problem! You can't play not to lose! I mean, even me as a fan, now it's different watching this thing slip away, and I'm like, oh my God, is this actually happening? And I keep yelling, my wife's falling asleep and going, wow, what's going on? I'm like, I can't believe this. Everything that needed to go wrong did go wrong. Missed free throws, turnovers, Brunson looking gassed, the Pacers not missing a shot, Bridges not playing defense. The refs making bad calls, the Knicks making bad decisions. It was when something like that happens, and the only game that I could compare it to is the 28-3 blown lead by the Falcons in the Super Bowl. And we all watched that as a Super Bowl, but I watched it as a Falcons fan, and it was one thing after another. That's just like, okay, well, if this doesn't happen, that's what this felt like. Now the difference is this is game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, not the Super Bowl, but that's the type of collapse that this was, BT. I don't think it was because of the Pacers' pace or anything the Pacers did better than the Knicks. I think the Knicks choked. They beat themselves. Hit a free throw, protect the basketball, make a good call the timeout the right way. Like, there were many different things that they played defense, get a hand in somebody's face, make a proper foul. There were any one of those little things that they could have done throughout the course of that finish, they would have won the freaking game, and they did none of them.
But that's why I said we could start the show and do an hour on so many different things. There's no doubt. But to me, it boils down to, now, you want to use the word choke? I'm fine with that. I get it. When the optics of the finish and the throat and the Halliburton, the bounce, and then the overtime. And I mean, what a wild, crazy night. Like, I really woke up and I know that I'm not even saying this for effect. I'm like, they did lose. They lost the game, right? All right. So to me, it comes down to really two things. The inability to stop the three-point shot and ball dominant pounding of the basketball late, where Jalen Brunson looked like he was on a sheet of ice. And I don't understand the confusion. And this comes back to a coaching thing for me. And listen, we talked about this before the series, and I very clearly said that Rick Carlisle's the better coach.
Yeah.
He is a much better basketball. He's just a better coach. We can debate that. That's fine. I don't even want to, but I think he's a lot better than Tom Thibodeau. Can you explain to me why every time the Knicks try to inbound the basketball, they look like a fourth grade CYO team, or they really what they really look like? And we've seen the videos here, and they're cute. When you're watching 6 year olds trip all over themselves like T-ball, like, you know, your daughter's not there yet, but when you play T-ball, somebody hits the ball and 10 kids scatter to it like an ant, like jumping on a drip of ice cream on the sidewalk in August. Everybody goes to the basketball. That's how the Knicks inbounds plays look. Like, what? How is there not a clear ability to inbound the ball and get the offense going? And I focus on that because if they had that last night, they would have won the game.
Here's one thing that has been consistent with the Knicks. They have not been a great free throw shooting team, and they have been sloppy. Those are things that it's very hard to overcome to win a championship. Back to the coaching thing for a second, because in real time watching this, now, I didn't think it was going to be a factor the way that the game went, but in the third quarter, I think it was like 9 minutes ago, something like that. The Pacers had a play that I forget, it was out of bounds off a Turner or something like that. And they were begging Carlisle to challenge it.
Yes.
And he said,
yes, he's like, get out of here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He said, go play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go play. Didn't even entertain. Just get out of here. Go play.
Yeah, he actually motioned with his hand.
I don't know if it was the next possession or a few minutes later, the Knicks had a foul go against them. And Tibbs challenged it. Now, I know why he did, because it was on Brunson, who again found himself in foul trouble. And at that point, with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter, after Carlisle just said, get out of here, I'm not wasting my challenge at this particular point, Tibbs did use his challenge, and he lost it. It was not overturned. It was a foul on Brunson. And then shortly thereafter, Brunson gets another foul on him. So that, to me, showed the coaching, I don't want to say difference, like, and Carlisle way outmatched Tibbs, but that was one example. And by the way, look at how the rest of the game played out. How many times did Carlisle use that bleeping challenge and cost the Knicks? So that right there, 9 minutes ago in the third quarter, where it looks like nothing, Carlisle dismissed the idea of using a challenge by his players, and turns out he needed that. Tibbs burned his because Brunson again found himself gassed and in foul trouble, and the Knicks had no challenges down the stretch.
Yep.
Not that it would have made a difference for them, because a lot of those calls seemed to be the right calls that the Pacers ended up challenging and getting overturned, obviously. But that's one example of, I do think Tibbs got outcoached.
Yeah, and by the way, if the referees get the goaltend, then it's a different game. Now, that was, I think, goaltend is, well, I mean, obviously.
It was a goaltend, dude.
There's no question.
And it changed the whole game.
There's no question. They butchered that. 1,000% that's a goaltend. Then you and I don't lean on excuses too much. Do you win? Do you lose? But the refs were bad last night. I thought they missed a few things. The goaltend is easy when the ball's coming. Like, is it on the way up or is it on the way down? And usually, you know, it's easy to determine, did it hit the backboard first or not? That was a little, I'll give him credit, like, or a little wiggle room. That was a trickier read because it was like tick, tick, like it was very close.
But how could that not be reviewed?
I don't know.
Such bull crap. Are we going to have replay or not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and when we do have it, do we need 6 minutes of replay?
Well, I know.
Now, listen, here's the problem. So the Pacers are very comfortable playing this way. I went back. Now, I understand, against the Bucks, game 5, they trailed by 7 with 34.7 seconds to go in overtime. They won. They trailed by Cavs. They trailed the Cavs by 7 in the next round, game 2, that was, with 46.7 seconds to go. They won. Like, they are very accustomed to playing this way, and that could be very problematic for the Knicks. I know we're all out of whack. I know everybody's exhausted. I know everybody's... I was going to say, I know that everybody's down, but I don't get the sense. I think that we're pissed that we let it slip, but I still think that we're fairly resolute. I think, I feel that the Knicks community still feels good about this team, and I think that they should.
It's a long series. I'm not going to go over the board one way or another, but I do need to get the frustrations out from last night.
I get it.
That cannot happen. Now, if there's any team that I believe that can come back and bounce back from that, it is Brunson. It is hard. It's that type of mentality. They've been here before, maybe not with that epic collapse. And, dude, the reality is they had the Pacers beat. So now you're going to have to beat them 4 out of a remaining 6 games because you had them beat in game 1 and you coughed it up at home, no less. All the talk about home court, out the window now. And how do you feel comfortable down the stretch when you the Knicks were in the best spot that they've been in the postseason? Closing out a game, and they couldn't close out the game. But I don't want to go nuts about losing the series and this or that. It's game 1, and that cannot happen, and there are many different reasons. And before we get to the calls, I got to get one more thing off my chest. Mikal Bridges, who's supposed to be a great defensive player, didn't foul Toppin in overtime, but even more so than that, what the bleep was he doing on Halliburton on the final play? Get up on him! Get up on him. He lets him run right past him, and then he backpedals and, you know, knocks down the shot. Of course, it goes up in the air and comes back down. But Bridges did not have a good game, and certainly not defensively, in a spot where they just needed one freaking shutdown possession.
Yeah.
One. Neesmith, somebody get an arm or a body on the guy. Foul him, knock him down. You can't keep letting him shoot these threes. But Bridges is supposed to be that lockdown defender, and there was no defense to be found down the stretch.
You look at the game log here, Sal. It's like 3-3-3, foul shots, 3-3-3. I mean, guys, you know what they're doing. There's one way to come back in this game, and that is to get behind the three-point stripe and just start firing away. And I don't understand. Like, listen, the main gripe here, there's a lot, but God, for somebody who's a defensive coach, can you set up a stop, dude? Now, this goes back to one of the things that does worry us, you and I both, about this team. We have said, although we've grown and I've grown, you've had more confidence in them than I have this year, and I've grown watching them grow, okay? And I still think they're going to win the series, I do. But the thing that you and I were always, you know, comment on was their two best players are bad defenders. And when you get in situations when I don't know why the Knicks were in drop coverage so much. When you drop, you are just saying, oh, here's the red carpet, let it loose, make yourself comfortable. The drop coverage was gross. And when you have a smallish, you know, I say this with respect, weak compared to these other guys. Brunson's not that strong. Small, weak point guard, he's going to get abused, dude. And when you have a slow to react, softish, big in Towns, you're going to get destroyed. They got to go to film, and they got to go to work because Rick Carlisle is not about to give the series away.
And by the way, with all that being said, they should have won the game. Like, we know their deficiencies. We know that they could be sloppy. They should not have lost.
Would you rather have lost 121-89 or the way they lost? If you're a Knick player, forget about us as fans.
I'd rather have lost that game any other way. That is a sickening, gut-wrenching, potentially devastating blow.
I hear you on that. As much as I think that they're going to win, that's the kind of loss.
Oh.
There's no guarantee that they respond from that the way they need to. There's no guarantee. We could sit there and tell you they're fine, and I think they're going to win the series,
right.
But that was such a demoralizing old.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time lost. You cannot categorize it any other way.
BT and Sal on the Fan just getting started here. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Anthony's on Staten Island. What's up, man?
Guys, I'm crushed. I mean, I went from riding the high up 14, 2 minutes left, sipping a Peroni on the couch, like, all right, we got game 1, and now I am in bumper-to-bumper traffic in the rain on the turnpike, dropping a wedding cake deposit off with Celtics fans sending me Halliburton memes. You got to talk me up. I need something, because this is all-time low. This is all-time low right now. I didn't think it would.
It's one of the worst losses in the history of the sport. It never happened
in New York, actually.
I'm getting chirped left and right. I'm getting chirped. It crushed me.
Yeah.
I mean, to say the series is over would be stupid. I do think, you know, we're going to come back strong. I don't think you could count us out at all. Worst loss in NBA history. Like, how are you guys going to come back from that? Blah, blah, blah. I had my call set up. I was going to call you today. All Deuce McBride, this, right.
That. Even campaign.
Things, everything. And this is where I'm at. I'm dropping a wedding cake deposit off in the rain and on the turnpike.
Is the wedding cake for you?
Choking Halliburton.
Well, hold on. Is the wedding cake for you?
I had the fiance there. Oh, by the way, you got to go drive an hour into Jersey to drop the deposit off. By the way, you got to. And so
you're regretting this already?
That's my day.
Yeah, you regret
this.
That's a rough day.
Sorry, Ed.
Wow.
Thank you for the call. Good stuff there. Yeah, it's brutal.
I mean, that is a vivid imagery right there because it was brutal coming in. The traffic was awful. The weather stinks.
The weather
it's like 49
sucks.
Degrees out.
It feels like football season instead of basketball playoffs. It's disgusting out. We're miserable to begin with the freaking weather, and then to have that loss happen, awful. And I'm getting the same thing, I don't know about you, texts from Sixers fans or Celtics.
Oh, I ignore them. That doesn't bother me.
The Knick haters are out. It's new for me to be on the side of, being hated.
You get that maybe
with the Yankees or whatever.
Yeah.
So to get that, and I understand it. I understand that you see it all on social media, people taking their laps. And it's one game, so we don't want to go nuts. But, dude, that you cannot have a more sick. It's one of the worst losses in the history of the sport. When you see the numbers like 948 or whatever it is and one, now this is the one loss in that same scenario, up 14 with 2.5 to go, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
That you're talking about all-time bad loss.
Yeah, that is the exact stat. So before last night, in the last 27 years, the NBA teams in the NBA were 0-970. 970 when you're up by 14 or more with 2 minutes and 50 seconds or less in a game. Now it's 1-970. I mean, it's absolutely bonkers here. But he did ask for advice. Listen, this is the advice, because whether it's Net fans trying to the little needle, or Celtic fans or whatever fans, right, chiming in, trying to complicate your day. You just have to understand that there's a pettiness to this. All right, you gotta rise above it. You can either, let it bother you, or you could just really understand that they are trying to find ways to involve themselves, and this is the only recourse that they have. I know it's a little annoying, but you got to ignore it and understand that when Game 2 fires up tomorrow night, they will have no true emotional investment in this series, and we will.
But, dude, here's the thing. A loss is a loss. That loss is soul crushing.
But why?
Sickening.
But why?
Because it was won. The game was over. It's hard enough to win games to begin with. It's hard enough to beat a good team like the Pacers. We haven't seen the Knicks have a, I don't want to say easy win because that was not the case, but, cruising to the finish line the way that they were yesterday. That game was in hand. It was under control. And they let it go. And then you got to see that, I said a lot of these bad words last night. Halliburton. You got to see him out there with the choke sign. You see Reggie Miller with the same thing. I'm tired of it. It's been 25 years. I haven't had these feels. And then last night, now it's good to be able to feel again.
Mm-hmm.
But that, come on, man. Like that's torture. A loss is a loss. And we would have been upset either way. And trash talk, this and that. Okay, we'll see what happens in game two. That's not a loss. That is just, that's not right.
But it's also not a death sentence.
Right, correct.
And that's all I'm trying to get through. Yes. Trust me, I get it, man. Like, the thing that I think is most disconcerting to me is that, number one, I think a lot of people who maybe, I don't want to say slept on the Pacers, but, like, now you see their depth, and now you see their shooting prowess, and now you see that it's going to be a tough matchup, even though you and I both think that they'll win. We thought that yesterday.
Yeah.
I still think that we both do. But if you told me yesterday before we left the studio, hey, Brunson's going to do this with 43, and Kat's going to do this, and I'm like, and even campaign's going to, pop off the bench and do a little something. Deuce will have influence on the game again. I'm like, Knicks won by, how many, what did we win by? 15, 18, 17? I know we won pretty easily here.
But with Cat and Brunson.
I know. That's the thing that has to worry you. But, I mean, the rebounding advantage and the extra possessions that the Knicks will have, I believe, throughout the entire series is a real thing. And I believe that will result in moving on to the NBA Finals. I get it. It's a kick to the stones, but there's really no other choice but to rally. And we got to rally.
BT and well,
can't be sitting there crying all day. Got to rally,
don't
dude.
Don't walk around work like that.
Well,
let's cry for at least a few hours. I need to get out of my system.
I got you.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Just getting started here. We'll come back. More of your calls at 888-808-1019.
And you ask me what I want this year, and I try to make this kind.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this Thursday morning, trying to recover from that disgusting, sickening performance from the Knicks. late in the fourth quarter, choking away game one here. So here's, I don't want to get into the calls, BT. We only took one there. We'll let the calls vent. 888-808-1019. Here's the one thing that would maybe worry me. And again, I'm trying not to overreact, even with the awful loss. The confidence that the Pacers have, they had it coming in. And now to have it after what happened last night, I don't know how you can beat that confidence. Like, that is, how are you going to be in a better spot than the Knicks were last night? And then how are you going to close this team out? It doesn't mean you can't beat them, period, but their confidence, they are just an unshaken, overconfident group, which worries the hell out of me.
Yeah, I don't know that you have to match their or beat their confidence. You got to just play better. I know that is really simplifying things here, but you just got to do things better. Yeah, and the other thing, too, is I'm getting very tired, and I know I'm not alone. Like, I think I'm the Jalen Brunson foul watch. I'm watching a young Patrick Ewing. You know, usually big men. Oh, God, he got his third foul. Sit him down. Oh, it's number four. Every night, we've got to do the mental gymnastics. Is Brunson going to foul out? When do you sit him out? When do you put him back? Now, the referees, and it's going to be an interesting night tonight. There will be an adjustment here. A lot of free throws taken by both teams. Knicks had 40, and they missed a bunch. And listen,
can't happen.
It can't happen, and they missed a bunch in one of the. I think they were. I have it written somewhere, but they were like 58% or 59% one of the games early against the Pistons. It happens. I do think the Knicks will bounce back, but Brunson to me looked shot, and at the end, and it wasn't a minutes thing. It was the referees. We're allowing a lot to go on. And I'm not going to use that as a complaint. It's an observation. Like, they're going to either have to adjust and get the ball out of his hands. Like, there's no reason why, say the Pistons score, inbound the ball to Jalen Brunson, token pressure for 94 feet. He's got to work his ass off to get over the timeline. Now he's got to dribble around. Like, is there another way to get him the ball after about 8, 9, 10 seconds elapse and somebody else does some of the hard work? I mean, to me, that's a coaching thing.
Yeah, I mean, but he's been playing like that all year long. Look, he was gassed, inexcusable with the fouls. This has now been a repeated offense from him. The turnovers, the sloppy play, it just can't happen from Brunson. So he's got to be better. But I just worry about the Pacers feeling like they can do anything out there on the floor based on what they did a year ago, based on the way that they've performed in this postseason, and now based on snatching the Knicks' soul in game one. They've got to feel like they can't be beat. Alex is in East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Oh, man, I tell you, I tried to throw Tibbs some roses after we beat the Celtics. You know I did. But now I'm back to square one with him, and I'll tell you why. When the Knicks were opening up their big lead in the middle of the fourth quarter, they were D-ing their asses off against the Pacers. And on offense, they were moving the ball around. But more importantly, they were D-ing up. They got Mitch on the floor. They got Deuce on the floor. So what happens? Knee jerk. Back comes Towns. Back comes Brunson. Out goes the defense. This is not a time for hurt feelings. You have to believe that Towns and Brunson are two of the worst defensive stars in the league.
Yeah.
So when you're up in the middle of the fourth quarter and you're in the conference finals of the playoffs, forget about hurt feelings. Your D team has been kicking butt and opening up the league. Let him ride it. You know, that's on Tibbs. He drives me crazy. No feeling. That's all I got to say because I can't say anymore.
And thank you for the call, Alex. Where was Bridges? Where was big, bad defensive superstar Mikal Bridges? You know, the same. Nobody was talking about Brunson's lack of defense or Karl Anthony Towns' lack of defense in the Celtics series. We've known their weaknesses all year long. But what were we talking about down the stretch? Oh, Bridges, look at the way he closed it out. Where was Bridges last night? All the Knicks needed was one stop. One stop. And he couldn't do it. Nobody could, but Bridges is supposed to be a defensive stud. That's the point.
Yeah.
And Halliburton just went, it was running circles around him on that final play.
He's a tough player, man. I mean, the lack of resistance was, deplorably bad at the end of the game. And the lack of communication.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Offensively was fatal.
And the fact that the fact that the Pacers didn't miss a shot, I don't care if they're open looks or not, still to hit that many in a row like Nesmith did.
I get that. But same thing with the Knicks. We're down by 20 against the Celtics. You gotta get stops, but then you gotta get makes. So this is a combination of really that this is basically everything going wrong at once, which is why I'm still optimistic. The Pacers did things they down the stretch they probably won't do the rest of the series.
Missing,
like that. The Knicks malfunctioned, hopefully. At most that they'll malfunction when it matters moving forward. That the coach had some rough moments. The referees were terrible. Right. There was guys that you count on to be clutch from a Knick perspective, missed shots, whether it's free throws or air balls at the horn, basically. There was bad luck involved with that bounce by Halliburton, even though it was only a two and not a three, and we got a second life here. So I just think when you unpack it from a non-emotional place, which is hard to do now, and it's all good with the emotions. There should be emotion. But to me, when I can just cross that spot and get to a place like intellectually, I still think the Knicks are better.
Fair enough.
I do.
Fair enough, but here's the problem. The Pacers are a very good shooting team. Does it mean that they're going to shoot the way that they did down the stretch? Maybe not. There was some luck involved. The officiating went the Pacers' way. The problem that I have is that it has been a theme here with the Knicks being sloppy with the basketball and not knocking down free throws. That's not a fluke one-night thing with them.
Mm-hmm.
They've been able to overcome it so far, but that is something that has been a pattern with this team and been a concern, maybe not the primary concern, but it's been a concern with this team. They don't hit enough free throws, and in the spot now where they're going to be taking more free throws in this series, you've got to be a better free throw shooter. Like, that goes back to some things don't translate from the 90s to today's NBA. Free throw shooting is one that does. You got to make your free throws. And you've got to be, to me, the Knicks, BT, got to protect the basketball. They just don't do it enough. They are very sloppy, giving away possessions, which you can't do that against a team like the Pacers.
They're sloppy here, and they were last night, but I also think that they're too predictable on offense. And I know it's convenient to say this when you flush down that massive lead. I get it, because they looked so good for most of the night, and I wouldn't say during that span that I'm not sitting there saying, wow, the Knicks look predictable as they're up by 16. But too often, and guys, you this is the as basic as it gets, you're watching these games, a possession, up one, down a possession, up two, down two, tight stuff, high leverage spot. Does the Knicks offense look like there's an ounce of creativity? It's let's pray we cleanly inbound the ball. Honestly, cleanly inbound it. Get it to Brunson. Pound, 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 pound. Hope he's wearing the cape. Hope he's Superman. Like, that's not going to win a championship.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Dave is in Rockville Center. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm absolutely livid. You know what? There is a disease that permeates the NBA. We saw it with the Celtics. And the Knicks are afflicted with it. They refuse to bleed the clock. They don't know how to play with a lead. I am so tired. You know, my name isn't Omar, but I'm going to start yelling because can you please stop hurrying to the three-point line with 19 seconds on the shot clock when you're up 15 points? The only guy on the team who has any semblance of awareness of clock management is Deuce, okay? He let the clock bleed down a little bit when he was in the game. But this is why the Knicks can't hold leads. I mean, all the other stuff is bad execution, but this is basketball 101. BT, you just talked about hope that Brunson is wearing the cape. That's exactly it. Pass the ball around. Why don't you pass the ball around, make the defense run around, tire them out. You're up by 15. Use the clock. Stop hurrying. It happens every game, and nobody talks about it.
Well, Dave, here's the thing. It doesn't happen every game. Well, it happens in the NBA, yes, and thank you for the call. First of all, last night I thought the Knicks had excellent ball movement. I thought early on in that game, that was the offense that I expected to see the majority of the season when they added Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. Attack the rim. They were getting a ton of points in the paint. If that's not there, you kick it out. You swing it around, have the open guy knock down the three. A thing of beauty from the Knicks. The Knicks, you keep saying, well, the Knicks, they blow a lead because they don't know how to run out the clock. When have they had a big lead like that? When have the Knicks had a big lead like that?
Well, I mean, the other night against the Celtics. But for the most part, it's been down big or you know, back and forth with Detroit. No, they haven't had a lot of big leads.
The Celtics game I'm even throwing out, because that game was a whitewash from the beginning and no Jason Tatum. I'm talking about a competitive game. I mean, fair. Yeah, technically, yes, they did have a huge lead, and that was a blowout throughout. That was not a big lead. That was an astronomical lead. This was the Knicks were about to close out a team in game one that they were on par with by a nice margin here. They struggled with the Pistons. They didn't do that. Obviously, in Boston, the majority of those wins were coming back late or pulling away. The best game that they played, I thought, game four, with a healthy Tatum pulling away late in that fourth quarter there. This game was under control, and the Knicks aren't the Celtics. Their game is not to be just chucking up bad shots. So I would have preferred that they slow it down a little bit. I still don't think that's ultimately why they lost. They just did a lot of things wrong, which ultimately added up to the Pacers coming
out. And again, the refs really, we got to reassert that. The refs had a brutal night last night. Now, Tom Thibodeau with these challenges, he's got to clean this up here. I understand what the last caller saying about playing to the circumstances of the clock here. I really do. And, yeah, it sounds good, but this is not the NFL where, you know, you just bleed it out, you know, off tackle, 2 yards, tick, 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 tick. In the NBA, you know, the way these teams can shoot, this is now common. I mean, it is not locked down until you walk off the court and the final buzzer sounds right before it. You've got to learn to play for 48. You've got to learn to come back from big deficits, which the Knicks have done very well. Now they've got to show that they are adaptable in the sense that they learn how to bury a team when they've got a big lead, and that they have to still prove.
Also, in real time, I don't remember feeling like, oh, that was a horrible shot. Maybe once from Karl-Anthony Towns with a shot downtown. I'm just trying to think of last night. I don't feel like the way that I did with Boston, thinking like, geez, I mean, this team just keeps chucking threes even with the big lead, allowing the Knicks to, you know, they come down one and done, Knicks come back and hit shots. I wasn't getting that feeling. By the way, even with under a minute to go, the Knicks had a 9-point lead.
Jeez.
So it was never like, oh, here come the Pacers. Like, yeah, you start to feel it, but it was never realistic. It was just like, okay, well, God, this guy Naismith doesn't miss a three, making it a little tougher. The Knicks just have to make sure they hit a bucket here or hit their free throws, and they're going to be fine, and just hope that the Pacers miss one. And it just kept getting closer and closer to eventually it was like, oh, my God, OG missed the free throw. That's when it was like,
yeah.
Once OG missed that free throw, now you were out of control because you knew that they could come down and hit a three and win the game.
Yep. Towns missed the free throw. OG had, I think Towns is the one who threw the good pass up court, and OG was in between the dunk or the layup.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
now, come on. Obviously,
dude,
you got to catch that and flush that. You know, I didn't think, usually when there's so many circumstances like that, you almost condition yourself like, wow, we're gonna choke this away. I didn't think that once. I didn't think the Knicks were going to lose until they lost. Even as things were unraveling.
In overtime, I'd be lying to you. I was despondent. I could not believe that that game actually went to overtime. Couldn't believe it.
I was actually thrilled because I thought it was over.
I know. I was relieved when it wasn't a three, but I could not believe it, and I did not feel good about it. Although up four, and it should have been six with the Brunson non-goaltend, you're like, okay. I'm just thinking, dude, you can't lose this game. Please just find a way to salvage this. I couldn't believe it was unraveling right before our eyes. Even when the final buzzer went off, I was like, what? How did they just lose this bleeping game? Oh, my God.
And just real quick on Dominguez, you know, because the splits are what they are, and he's got to grow more as a righty hitter. You realize he's hitting .308 as a lefty with an OPS of .930 as a lefty? Like, his lefty prowess, I don't know if his righty's ever going to, I think he's always going to be more lefty dominant. But if that righty, if the numbers on the right side just come up 10, 12, 15%, I mean, you got an absolute horse. He's starting to look the part.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the Knicks. Of course, a brutal loss last night. Game one, choking that game away in historic fashion. Mike is in West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey,
I understand blowing a lead like that isn't just one mistake, but I thought Tibbs could have read the game a little better. I mean, you mentioned it. They were missing their foul shots. And with about 7 seconds to go or so, you're up three. Why are you extending the game trying to put your guys in a foul shooting contest? I mean, if you miss one, they come back down. It's a 2-point game. It made no sense. I would have let them chuck up a three or even let a little more time come off if Indiana wanted to hit it too. They wouldn't have gotten that second chance prayer where Halliburton grabs the ball and has enough time to run to the 3-point line. The game would have been over. I mean, I just thought it was poorly managed at the end of the game. I mean, I get it, missing foul shots and all the other mistakes, but I thought that was really did them in.
Well, listen, guys, we're going to get the answer. You know, we're going to really get the answer. There's the thought that, and I've subscribed to this with all due respect, that Tom Thibodeau is just merely really good. And there's a difference. I mean, the great coaches, and it's not just, wow, the last play that you drew up. There's always a sequence of events, whether it's a substitution pattern with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, whether it's an inbounds play. I'm not saying this is all Tom Thibodeau's fault. I'm certainly not. But we are going to get the answer. I don't think after this series we can wonder anymore if he is a championship-type coach. I think we'll definitely get the answer.
Yeah, and I don't want to go nuts reacting one series or one game in one series they lose, and it's, oh, he's got to get fired. The next series, the next game they win, oh, my God, maybe Tibbs isn't that bad. I don't think that he did everything perfectly last night. He would not be my main culprit in the game. His players put him in a bad position down the stretch. I think their offense, their plan, it looked great, as good as I've seen it look to start that game and really, almost the entirety of the game until the final few minutes of that game. But even a guy like Jalen Brunson putting himself again in foul trouble, there's only so much Tibbs could do. Like, Brunson's got to be smarter. I'm sorry. He's the best player on the team.
Yeah.
How many times are you going to have this happen? He's got to be smarter. Dude, you got four fouls. What are you doing hacking somebody's arm on the perimeter? Stop. You can't do it. And then he was gassed. Is that Tibbs' fault? Even with a rest, Brunson was gassed. So I would look more at the players. OG Anunoby missing a free throw. Bridges not making a defensive play. Again, I'm not saying Tibbs is great, but my biggest issue was Carlisle passing on a potential challenge in the third quarter. Tibbs challenging in the third quarter, but he did so because his star player was again in foul trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a theme forever. I mean, we've seen things with Brunson, amazing things that we've never seen from any other Knick, unless you saw Clyde play, I guess, but sometimes it's not all good. You know, like the five fouls in the one quarter. It's just been, it's been nuts. And I do think that there was maybe the expectation by some that it was going to be maybe a little easier than it's going to be. I mean, I know we get wrapped up, beat the Celtics, send home the champions, even with Tatum's injury. Knicks are battle-tested, the Pistons toughened them up. Knicks are starting to gel. And all those things are applicable. That's absolutely true. But, the basketball gods weren't going to make this an easy series. It's not going to be easy, but you better win game two.
Cologne is calling from Hawthorne, New Jersey. What's up, Cologne?
Hey, guys. Devastating loss, a gut punch. You know, the Pacers, remember last year, they also lost game one to the Celtics. They lost the game. Boston did not win. They gave it away. But, Sal, I agree with you. I don't know whether he was gassed or not, Jalen Brunson, but when you have five fouls, you're not going to be aggressive on defense. And Naismith said in the post-game, he was shooting threes because they were wide open. And Brunson was on Naismith most of the game. And down the stretch, he was not. So Brunson cannot get into foul trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's a repeated thing, and thank you for the call. It's a problem. He's got to stop that. And if that's the case, if Brunson wasn't playing on Naismith because of the foul trouble, then he shouldn't be on the floor. Because if you can't defend in that spot, and I'm not blaming Brunson there. I'm blaming him for getting in foul trouble to begin with, which compromised the game earlier. Maybe the Knicks could have been up by 25 if he didn't get. Who knows? I know they went on a nice run as soon as he left the game, but you get my point. When you're in foul trouble like that, now the Knicks' hands are tied to a certain extent. Brunson, when he's out there, is a liability. And if he is not going to be out there, it hurts the Knicks because he should be out there because he's their best player. As much as the Knicks went on the run, you'd still rather have Brunson on the floor more than not.
The one thing that should worry every Knicks fan, and we can get into this more coming up.
Yeah.
We saw elements of this with Reggie, Pedro, that great villainous character from the Yankee-Red Sox rivalries back in the day. Halliburton will happily wear that shade of cape, if you will, and he is the kind of player who is going to rise to the occasion. Like, he's got a lot of Reggie in him. He's got a little MJ in him in terms of the Garden showmanship. He's got a little Kobe. He's got a little LeBron. Like, I know he's not like a top five, top 10 player, but he's got something that maybe even Tatum doesn't have from the previous series. He relishes this stuff, and he's not going away. He's going to be tough to kill.
BT and Sal on the fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019. Sulking in the misery of game one with the Knicks' devastating loss.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.